Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better. Hey guys, welcome to the MI Ice Guys. Here we are. It's the fall of 2013. We had an absolute riot last year with you guys, and we wanted to come back this year with an even stronger show. We got some new great things in store. Steph, how are you feeling about the season this year?
I'm really excited about this year. Got my new flasher in the mail yesterday, so that really gets you geeked.
Oh, yeah. I've been working on some projects. I got my drill, so I'm going to be in the Super Speed Auger crew again this year. It's going to be a wild year. I'm really looking forward to it. Today's show, I thought, you know, let's start it off kind of like we did last year with fishing in the garage.
Yeah, getting your gear ready and prepped for this year's upcoming season.
Yeah, you know, once the snow's on the ground, you know, you're counting the days. You're like looking and you're driving down to the lake and sticking a foot out there, banging it with a pole or whatever to see if it's safe to walk on and stuff. Hey, summer's over. The kids are back in school. We're not getting the greatest Saturdays every weekend. Why don't we just get our gear ready? Let's pull it out and clean it out. One of the first things that I thought that we ought to do is take an inventory. See what you got left from last year. See what you got. Double check everything and see where we're what we're missing, what maybe we need to get, what we need to purchase. So by knowing that ahead of time, maybe we can find a deal. I know you've been finding a few.
Yeah, shopping online is a good deal to look for any deals on jigs. eBay is a good place to look.
Oh, yeah. I've been finding some astounding deals over the months with online stuff. Now, another thing that you want to take a look at is what's the state of your equipment from last year? Now, you brought up a good point, and it reminds me of a story of your brother Al. Al and his mice, as we say, that get into his shanty. It seems like every he must put bait in there for the mice
to attract them.
New holes every year, chewing the way through it, chewing up his Carhartts. I was telling him that his Carhartts are pretty much looking like they ought to belong in the barn for good. They're getting a little rough. But some of that stuff that you haven't had out until, you know, since, what was it, April 1st or such that we were done fishing last year? And maybe we were in a hurry to get onto the lakes then after things opened up and we had things to do. So some of that stuff might have got just crammed away in a tub or in a closet or something, maybe a little too quick.
Yeah, we're throwing stuff away, putting it up for the season. You're done, and you're changing gears to steelhead in the spring.
Yep. And you want to break that stuff out and have a look at it and make sure that you've got equipment that's ready to go for this year. Now, speaking of which, let's talk about a few little things that get everybody every year. Now, one of the first things that we brought up when we were talking in the pre-show, line.
Yep, checking that line. I mean, you use it all season. It's time to re-spool, check it for nicks. Some of your, like some of me, for me, it's some of my schoolie rods. I've retied so many times. I only got X number of feet left. Sometimes I couldn't even get to the bottom by the end of season.
Right, and you know, now's the time. Go out, buy a big spool of line, your favorite weight. Sometimes I'm in that half-pound test, 1 pound, 2 pound. You know, we fish pretty light stuff because we're after those finicky little crappie, and we're delicate fishing guys. But even on your tip-ups and stuff, check that line, yep. Knots. Knots can be your enemy.
And I got a little tip for you guys out there. Stren, line company. If you're a tight liner and you use 2 pound gold Stren, they discontinued it this year. So if you can find it, you better stock up.
Buy it. Yeah, exactly. Now, a lot of you guys that are new to fishing, when we talk about the line, checking your condition and stuff, Steph meant the length. You know, he mentioned that. But what about also, you know, just checking it for nicks? If you take your fingers and you just run that line through there and, you know, check the first 40 feet, you know, you got a jig on it from last year, right? Hook it on the side of the garage, walk down the driveway with it. And as you reel it back up, feel that. If you've got nicks and little rough spots in it and stuff, those are prime for breakage. And, I mean, you're going to be crying all the way back to the bar telling about the big one that got away because the line broke. Checking that out, we all know that UV is tough on these lines. So you don't want to have that problem in there.
Yeah, and tip-ups, checking the line on your tip-ups.
Oh, it's so easy to get knots in that line,
yep.
And then it doesn't spool out right, and you're going to lose a fish.
Or you put them away, and they're all...
Oh, just a mess.
Yeah.
You know, somebody told me the other day a really good idea for the tip-ups. They were getting these mailer tubes that you get posters in or something like that. Or, like, here at the brewery, we get stretch wrap that we wrap the pallets with. And they come in a tube that's about 24, 30 inches long. You can put your tip-up in that and keep it from getting tangled up with other things. It'll fit right into that tube. Or you can go down to the UPS store or wherever and get some of those mailer tubes, and they're really good for keeping your tip-ups from getting tangled into each other. It's cheap, it's easy, and it's a smart thing to try.
Another thing, good thing to do on your tip-ups, get them all retied and ready to go. Because you know how you take your treble hook and you set it in your spool, and inevitably your treble hook pierces that line, and it gets stuck in that line on you.
Oh, and then you tear it.
Yep. So then you're trying to get that barb out of there. But the best thing to do is carry with you some rubber bands. Your tip-up's got points on each end where you can wrap a rubber band around there. You take the one end of the rubber band, wrap it around your hook point and around one end of the tip-up, and you don't have to worry about that, and it keeps them tangle-free.
Yeah. You know, just sorting the stuff out so that very first day when you hit the ice, because if you're like Steph and I, you just can't wait. And we joke about taking his brother Dale fishing because Dale's afraid of falling through all the time. And we say, you know, don't worry unless Steph's wearing his floating suit. And I always yell out, what color is that floating suit again? And invariably, you know, we're walking out there maybe before a lot of other guys want to get out on the ice. And it's not quite as thick. You don't want to be worrying about equipment that day when you're watching your step, being very careful, and maybe don't have your ice legs yet. So get this stuff in order right off. Now, another thing is your auger.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned I'm switching over to the drill this year. I bought that big 24-volt Milwaukee cordless, and I'm going to put a 4.5-inch fin bore, I think, on there, or maybe Strike Master. You know, the guys over at Allen Bob's told me that they cut me a deal on a Strike Master.
Yeah, those Strike Master synthetics, they cut very well, too.
Yeah.
They use those in the World Championships.
And so I'm going to put that together, so I'm going to be a little lighter on the auger, but I'm still going to check the gas auger. I'm going to drain the fuel, put fresh fuel in it. You know, it's the time of the year to look into that. I'm going to make sure it starts easy. The last thing you want to do is be standing out there on the ice, reefing on this thing, and looking like a fool in front of everybody because, you know, there's nothing to hide behind on the ice.
Yeah, put new plugs in it, fresh gas.
Freshen it up. And then
check the carb.
Yeah.
Yep.
Take it down, take the blades off.
Mm-hmm.
Clean that area up. Make sure you don't have rust and build up around there and stuff. A little steel wool, clean that up real nice.
And then
once you got it off, hit it with a rattle can of spray paint in there, and, you know, make sure it's not going to rust anymore on the actual auger part after you get the blades off. Take those blades down to your local bait shop that sharpens them. Have them get them sharpened. Now, I know you've got a couple augers that you have to send the blades off for some fancy milling thing and stuff, but a lot of the guys, especially you got a Mora or a Strike Master or something like that, your local bait shop can put a real nice machine edge on there without you sit around, cut your finger off playing with a file or something silly like that. And it's just good maintenance to get that done. So you got sharp blades, so you're quick to make a hole. Quicker to make a hole, quicker to get a fish.
Yep. And when you put those blades back on, make sure to add a little Loctite to them.
Yep.
Because over the course of that first few uses, if you got a loose bolt, there's nothing worse than losing that bolt. And it's your only auger.
Yeah, and then you got either a blade flopping or, worse yet, a blade on the bottom of the lake. That's just no fun.
1 year, Chad and I, we went up to Houghton, and we brought one auger. And the first hole, we hit sand.
Oh!
And it totally toasted the fin bore. Not the fin bore, but the, what was that one?
I think you were fishing with my friend Brent.
Yeah.
Brent is notorious for being able to find and pick out where to drill to get a sandbar. But, just, you know, some prep stuff.
Bring a backup auger.
Yeah.
Learn that the hard way.
Especially if you're traveling a long way from home.
Yeah.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more fishing in the garage. We got some more tips for you. And then I think we also got some news this week about the upcoming Worlds and what's going to happen this season in the circuit with national fishing. Steph and Chad, they're going to go out there and see if they can win the championship this year, or at least give a good run for it.
We got a good starting position. We're in third overall for the season.
Awesome. So, this is the MI Ice Guys at miiceguys.com. don't forget our ice map. We're going to get that fired up real quick here and get some ice thicknesses. So we'll be right back. How would you like your business to be part of MI Ice Guys? We're always looking for sponsors to help us pay the bills, get us out there on the ice a little more, and get you the exposure you need. Whether your business is related to ice fishing, or you just think that ice fishermen would like to know about you, drop us a line at report@miiceguys.com, and we'll get you in contact with the right people to see what we can do to work together. Once again, that's miiceguys.com, and you can contact us there at any time. Hey guys, welcome back. It's Steph and Chaz. We're here in the studio in the brewery. We're recording. We're dreaming of ice fishing, and we're hoping that you are too. It's almost deer season, but we've got a little lull here. It's time to get some things ready, and we've been talking fishing in the garage, getting stuff ready. And the other thing that we wanted to talk about is what's new. What's new out there? Now, Steph briefly mentioned his FLX28, this new Vexlar hybrid thing, and he's giddy over the thing, aren't you?
Yeah, that thing's going to be sweet. I mean, you got 5 different color options on it, quarter-inch target separation, and it has the producer transducer on it where you can adjust it from with the gain. I mean, it starts as a 9-degree transducer, but as you up the gain, you can spread it as far as 40 degrees to see what's around you, to see those fish out on the side, kind of let you know if you got to move one way or the other to go get them.
Yep. Hey, you know, I was reading this article that was over on the Rapala Ice Force thing, popped into my email box, and, you know, I'm not giving them a shout out on anything or anything, but, you know, they had a very interesting quote on this thing, and it says, the fish that you catch today aren't going to be there all winter long. They move, and you have to move with them. And that was a lesson that I learned over the last couple of 3-4 winters fishing with the guys. You got to chase the school. Otherwise, you're going to be out there all day. Now, I've said in the past, and I'll say again, perfectly fine if you want to hide on the ice all day from the wife. Not opposed to that, okay, if that's your goal. But Steph and I have a habit of going out every afternoon, you know, and he gets out of work, I'm out there on the ice, let's go, let's catch some fish, get done, boom, boom, let's go get a couple of beers. We're not going to do an all-day deal. We want to catch fish often, really quickly, and get it going. And electronics are the way to do that. Now, Steph's got the new FLX8, F28 Monster, greatest new thing since sliced bread from Vexlar. But, you know, I'm still happy with my old Markham LX5 that's a great flasher, and I know that you're going to be carrying that as your backup when you're out there tournament fishing and when we're out running around. I mean, you'll probably have one in each car, knowing you.
Yeah, inevitably you go out with your fishing buddies, and if they don't have electronics and you do, it's nice to be able to share with them.
Yeah, then everybody's fishing at the same pace.
Yep.
And for those of you guys that haven't made the investment yet in electronics, it is kind of the modern way to fish. Seeing if the fish are there before you take the time and set down, set up camp. The days, one of the guys was telling me, you know, the days of the permanent ice shanty are kind of over.
Yeah, you know? Going out, drilling a couple of holes, and, oh, this is where we're fishing, and you sit there all day, and this is, you catch what you catch or you don't catch. You're either on them or you're not.
Yeah, setting up camp, you aren't real hungry. You want to be able to be flexible and move, and electronics is the way to do that. You know, we all live in the age of the smartphones, and we've talked about how to use the smartphones and stuff. But electronics is a good way to go, and you don't have to sink a whole lot of money. You know, I've seen that some of the Markhams now, they're up to, you know, $1,000 for, you know, if you want a camera integrated and all the bells and whistles and things like that. And the new Hummingbirds came out the other day. I saw those. And there's a lot of those really high-end ones. But, you know, that showdowner that you've got, Steph, that thing, you know, a couple $100, and you're on the fish.
Yeah, and if you watch sales, I got my showdown, the showdown troller, for $100, $99 on sale.
Yeah, and so there's some deals out there. So watch for those if you want to get into the electronics. Now, I know Otter just announced a few new shelters that are coming out, and we know the Chappelle boys are... Well, that's still a hush-hush, but there's a new super secret, wonderful little shelter for the days that aren't quite, hospitable enough to just go in a suit. But I know that, you know, you and I have kind of gone to the suit route rather than getting a shanty. We kind of wear our shanty.
Yeah, we're mobile ice hopping fishermen. I mean, we got our gear, our flashers attached to our buckets. We'll post pictures. But you got that Milwaukee 28-volt drill in one hand. You got your ice hopper bucket in the other with your flasher attached. So you can drill a hole with one hand. You're checking it with the other. Yeah, let's fish here. Or no, I'm not seeing anything good. Just keep moving.
Keep moving.
Chasing that school, especially late season.
Late season when the predator fish are really moving them around. That is when that really, really became evident that that was the way to go with that. Now, there's some other cool things that came out. Now, I see, well, I know that from fishing on the soft water, that four-cycle outboards are the thing now because they want the emissions. They want less of that oil in the water. They want a cleaner running thing. Now, that started to come to ice fishing. It's not mandated yet to be four-cycle. But I saw that that Honda is actually coming out with a four-stroke auger that is, I think, using StrikeMaster auger on it. And, you know, so four-stroke is coming, and that's going to be a little more reliable, starting smoother, quieter running. It isn't going to sound like you got the chainsaw fired up out there in the middle of the lake because, yeah, you know, lakes are a quiet and peaceful place.
Those things are quiet, too, those four-strokes. You can hardly tell they're running sometimes. And I have a two-stroke Tanaka, which meets the four-stroke emission, so they're still allowed to sell that particular item.
Well, there's, you know, we've gotten the dirty looks when we fire up the, you know, the Strike Master and get that thing a-humming, and, you know, or Al fires up the big basketball hole cutter and, you know, it disturbs the peace on the ice. And we've kind of taken the direction of going electric with the Milwaukees. But for those pike holes, for the tip-ups and stuff, you still want a little bit bigger. And unless you're going to crank her by hand, that means a gas auger. So you guys are going to want to take a look, get out there on the web and take a look around. Maybe that four-stroke might be the thing for you if you're fishing that kind of stuff, especially if you're into thicker ice. And power is a lot better because we've talked many times. We're not all Chad Schaub that can cut through 2.5 inches or 2.5 feet of ice in 17 seconds because he's just a beast. World beast. That's why he's third in the world in this crazy sport we call hard water fishing.
Everybody knows how well Hondas perform.
Hondas,
flawless,
yeah.
Flawless motor right there.
Whether it's generators or, yeah, you know, the little cars that the bodies rust off them, the engine's still going for 300,000 miles and craziness like that. Hey, some other new stuff that's out there. I was just looking on the web. Stopper lures. Our good buddies down at K&E Stopper down in Hastings there, just to the center of the state and a little bit south there. New Scandia tungsten jigs. They've got a nickel, a gold, and a copper, as well as a new purple glow. And I saw that all of them this year are going to be available in size 16 as well. So when you're really onto the finicky fish and you need some small stuff, because our buddies on the tour always tell us, you know, if the stuff in the water column's small, you better be fishing with small bait.
Yep.
If it's bigger stuff, you can fish with bigger stuff. And having an arsenal of different sizes, now not everybody has the 24 karat gold, half millimeter jig that most people can't even see that Chad Schaub got at the Worlds a couple of years ago. But there's some options out there to have that arsenal, and you can put that right in your jig box and keep it in your pocket. Be ready to go for whatever the circumstances. Because if you're listening to this show, you're serious about ice fishing and you want to get fish, not just hide from the wife on the ice. Well, maybe you're out there and the grilling guys weren't on and you needed to hear somebody good. But it's still a really good plan to have an arsenal of things available. Hey, you know, when we come back, we're going to talk about some customization. Steph, I know you've got some great things going on with your equipment. We're going to talk sleds, quads, lures. We're going to talk tying your own a little bit. We're going to talk about a whole lot of things. But it's the Ice Guys. We got to let the sponsors pay the bills for just a few moments, and we're going to be right back, guys. Guys, I wanted to take a moment and tell you about a new feature on the MI Ice Guys. Photos. We're going to do a photo gallery. If you have a great picture of you, your catch, your buddies, whoever, as long as it's got to do with ice fishing, send it to photos@miiceguys.com. And hey, if we like it, it looks good, we'll put her up on the page. So once again, that's photos at miiceguys.com. Hey, you're listening to the MI Ice Guys. Hardwater fishing in the Great Lakes State. And it is a great lake. We've had some wonderful times this summer. And, you know, the fish are moving into the rivers now, and we're getting into that. But it's time to talk ice fishing. And in this segment, we want to talk customization. Now, we're both the kind of guys, Steph and I both, are the kind of guys that we own tools. We own, and we know how to use them. And we're going to use them, and we're going to come up with some creative things. We did some creative things just tonight before we started recording to get some special things going for you guys, our listeners, that we're going to do and share with you. And tonight's customization that we want to talk about is going to start out with sleds. Now, Steph brought up a great point about your sled when you're dragging it down from the truck.
Yeah. How many times are you dragging your sled down a hill or an embankment down to the lake and your buckets are tipping over, stuff's falling out of your sled? Well, guess what? Now's the time to put bucket holders, mount them right in your sled.
Fix those things up, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know our buddy Mike, he has a hole cut in his surface that he can drop a bucket right into, and that's great. Now, personally, I use bungee cords. I got a jet sled, and I got a jet sledge large, and I just use a couple of bungee cords, and I can keep that bucket straight in there.
You take a washer and a couple of bolts and bolt you some milk crates to the bottom of that sled, though. Those milk crates work great for holding a five-gallon bucket in.
Oh, yeah. Milk crate's great.
And you can run the bungee cord then around the milk crate, right around the five-gallon bucket, and it ain't going nowhere.
And that same theory holds for the quad, because I know on your quad, you've customized it out so that your buckets don't tip. So you could bolt that, or yeah, you know, with a little bracket work, put that thing on that utility quad, and you're all set to go. Hey, another thing is rod holders.
Now, can't have too many rod holders.
Oh, yeah. You need one for every rod you have, because if you're driving the quad, you can't be holding the rod. If you're hauling that thing down the hill and you got the auger in one hand or your drill in one hand or you're steadying yourself down a slope or whatever, you can't be holding the rod. You got to have those things safe, and you don't want them banging together. I see guys tossing them in the sled all the time.
Falling out when you're driving that quad around. I don't know how many times I found poles on the ice, and I came back in from a tournament, and I turn them into the tournament director, and I'm like, well, I found these three rods out there on the ice.
Yeah.
And sometimes you know exactly whose they are because they write their names and stuff on them. But,
well, our buddy Norm Smith, he coined a real good phrase one day when I was talking to him. He says, yep, saw that sled go sideways, and he was having a yard sale, spreading it right out across the whole ice. You don't want to be that guy. You got some money into that. You've put the time into it, like we were talking in an early segment, getting that equipment prepared. Do a little bit extra and do that. Now, I took some PVC last fall in one of my buckets. I bolted it to the side. I did a little cutout with my Dremel, and hey, it slips right in there. The thing is secure. I'm not losing my rod. It's not getting tangled up with other things. It's a good way to go. You can do the same thing on your bucket. You know, bolt it on your bucket.
Yeah.
Bolt them on. Maybe you built a box on your quad. Bolt right to that and put some rod holders on there. Quad's going where you're going fishing. And until you unbolt that whole box to go deer hunting or something else, that's what it's there for. What else do you think, Steph?
Well, not only in customizing your bucket, but we'll pull some pictures out there. When we're mobile ice fishermen. So we got what you call, it's called a hopper bucket, ice hopping bucket. You take that bucket, your fish finder and flashers mounted right to the 5 gallon bucket, it's a 6 gallon bucket with a 5 gallon bucket inside it that lock together. So your battery offsets the weight in the back so it's balanced well. You can drill a hole with one hand.
Check the hole.
Yeah.
Put your electronics down. Check it out and stuff. You know, hopper bucket's a great way to go with it. And we also talked a little bit about shanties, you know, and shanties right now in southern Michigan aren't really the thing you need every day. It's really howling. I know last winter, your little brother Al and I went out fishing one day, and I think we almost got drifted over.
Yeah.
We would have gotten drifted over if his shanty didn't have so many holes in it for it to blow through. But, you know, customize your shanty up. If you got that, you know, that's just another sled.
Yeah.
It's ready to go. And when you and I go, we quite often take one of my tents. And we don't necessarily fish in the tent, but it sure makes a nice windbreak base of operations to get in out of the weather if you're being mobile fishermen but still need a base operations, especially on a bigger lake.
It's a good place to hold the cornies.
Yeah, we can put some beer out there if we're taking a whole bunch of people and spending the day.
Yeah. Shanties are great if you're going to take kids out fishing.
Oh, yeah. You need a place. If
you're going to drag the old lady out there because she wants to go out, take her out there. You're going to want a shanty or else there's a potential there for her to have a miserable time and not enjoy it.
And if she's miserable,
shanty helps with that.
If she's miserable, you're twice as miserable. So maybe we start thinking of shanties more as bases of operation, you know, with the heavier equipment in it and stuff like that, but still working our mobile rig. And that's a good way to go with that.
And with the mobile rig, you can find the fish, then bring the shanty over to that area and put them on fish so they have a nice active time. An enjoyable time catching. With you and I out on the ice, we wear our shanties. We're in suits.
Yeah. We're ready to go. We're mobile. Yep. Everything's in our pockets, hooked to us, clipped to us, whatever it is.
Today's ice fishing suits are so geared to the ice fishing sport. They got padded knees, padded seats. You go in to check a tip up, and you slide down on the ice right on your knees. It's nice having that padding there.
Yeah, you're ready to go, and you're mobile. It's everything that the old shanty used to be, but you're wearing it.
Your knees aren't going to get wet. These things are waterproof, breathable, and enjoyable to wear. They're well worth the investment.
Now, another thing I want to talk about customizing, and it's something that a lot of people forget. Where are you going to clean those fish? Get yourself a big cutting board. Get yourself a big monster cutting board. Figure out, you know, are you going to do it in the garage in an area and clear that area out. Okay, as soon as deer season's done. Well, maybe you need it in deer season, cut up a deer. But get that area cleaned out so it doesn't have metal shavings in it. It doesn't got spare parts laying around on it and stuff. When you get home, you want to get those fish cleaned. You want to take them in, rinse them off in the sink, and be done with those fillets and freeze them. Or get them on the table. You know, cook them up and get them on the table. Do a little preparation there. Get yourself, if you're a scaling guide, get your scaler. And clean that scaler up, get the last year's funk out of it, you know, stuff like that. If you're a skinning guy, I know you like to use a fork when you're skinning them, just to hold that skin down while you're lifting the meat off with your fillet knife. Sharpen your fillet knife. I don't know how many times I've been out with a buddy, and he says, oh, here, use my knife. And I'm like, you got a butter knife out of the
drawer? Hour later.
Yeah, it's really rough. But customizing your rig, being ready for the season, is what it's all about. And it's the time of the year when, you know, we had a nasty weekend the other weekend when it was cold. It was rainy.
Whether it's you're stuck to a sled, if you're a sled fisherman going out to the lakes on thin ice, you know, get that sled ready to hold your gear, hold your rods. And then when the ice gets thicker and you're moving up to the quad, you're ready to go there.
You're ready to go. And then when we go off to Minnesota and Wisconsin, we can drive the trucks right out there, and that's when we need that locking gas cap. Now, when we were talking about the sleds, I just thought of something. You know, you got runners on the bottom of the sled. You got, even if you haven't added wear bars on the bottom of the sled or something like that, a little wax on there can really save your arm a dragon when you're going out across. It's just like cross-country skis or downhill skis or whatever. Just a little bit of wax on there. Ain't got to be expensive wax. Just put a little bit of wax on there. It smooths out the pores. It makes it slide easier.
And if you got a little pledge.
Oh, pledge is a good one. There,
bam, you're golden. You are slick.
There you go. And it's going to make that sled a whole lot easier to drag. You're going to have a much more enjoyable time, because that's what we're out there for, is to enjoy the Great Lakes State fishing on hard water. Hey, you've been listening to the MI Ice Guys, and we're going to take just a short break, and then we're going to come back, and I think we're going to talk tournament. Hey, when I'm heading out fishing, I want to grab me a couple of beers. I like to have pop top off one, and my choice is Schmoe's. Bone Crusher, Treasure Chest, Hop Knocker if you dare, Amber Teas, IPA, and Pale Ale. Grab the Brewer's Six. It'll do you well out on the ice, and you can even share with your pals. So stop by your local bottle shop and grab some Schmoes. See you out there on the ice, guys. Drive safe. Hey, you're back with the MI Ice Guys. Chaz and Steph, we're kicking the table, making noise, and drinking beers, talking ice fishing, you know? It's that time of the year when it's time to get things ready. We've been talking about how to get everything prepped and stuff, but it's also time to grab your calendar and write some things down and some important dates that are coming up. And I thought we'd touch base on some of the tournaments that are around the area. Now, I know that we have the NAIFC. That's the national that you and Chad compete in. And that first one in Michigan is the Croton one, right?
Yeah, the Croton one on February 9th.
Oh, man, that's like right around Super Bowl weekend, right in close there. Maybe the weekend after Super Bowl, I think.
I believe it's the weekend after Super Bowl.
And that's a real nice one, because like you were saying earlier, that's right behind the Driftwood Bar there. It's up by the Anchor, and I know we got Schmo's Beer at the Anchor. That could be a real nice one for a lot of you guys that are around here in Michigan that are maybe think you got the stuff to get out there and fish, you know, get your 8 crappie or 8 bluegill and turn them in with a 2-man team. It's a wonderful experience. I know that your little brother Dale actually did real well with his partner last year.
Yep, he qualified for the championship there up on Croton last year. And Croton's a real nice area to fish. Very good fish out there. Nice crappies, bluegills. There's some monster pike in there that'll break you off. And the Driftwood's an excellent host. We do the weigh-ins indoors right inside the Driftwood. So you can order yourself some food for your table, drinks.
Great.
And watch the weigh-in. Even if you just come up there for the seminar the day before that Saturday.
That's an important thing.
Friday night seminar we do. It's free. Welcome to the public. And we do a kids ice fishing clinic on the Saturday before the tournament.
You know, that's an important thing to point out to everybody. These tournaments have a lot of different activities that go on around that weekend. When you've got this many pros in there, all the equipment sponsors, everybody coming in, they make this a big deal. So it's something to put on your calendar. Now, some of the other ones that are coming up, I know like Hamlin Lake, we had an excellent time up there, although we didn't compete. Looking at some of our fish, maybe we should have. And I know Turk Lake always has a tournament coming up in the winter, and they'll be publishing those schedules pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then there's always the Knutsons, which you got to be good to get into. Yeah.
Yep.
You pretty much got to win one of the other.
You win at Hamlin, you get a free entry into Knutsons.
Yeah.
The top 10 at Hamlin get into Knutsons. So
for you guys that think you're taking your stuff serious here and you got your game on, it's a cool thing to do. And we're actually talking here at Schmo's about sponsoring another tournament that's going to be up there north of Greenville. I'm not ready to display the details on that yet, but it's going to have a beer tent. We're going to have the MI Ice guys, you and I, and hopefully Chad, if he's in the country, joining us to do a little ice seminar. And what we want to do is we want to share with you guys, like we do with the podcasts, but live and in person, a seminar on modern ice fishing. Now, this is not just for brand new guys, but this is not exclusive to the guys that are just been at it forever and got all the electronics and three flashers like Steph and a quad that's just for ice and it's probably never been started in the summer. This is for all levels. What we want to do is share what we do that makes it so that Steph and I walk on the ice, hour and a half later, we're off the ice and we've got our limit. And I wanted to announce on the show today that December 5th, we're going to be at Al and Bob's over on Division here in Grand Rapids, just south of 28th Street. And we're going to have a little evening with the MI Ice guys. I think we're going to bring a little beer. We're going to talk, and we got a little PowerPoint presentation. We're going to do that and show you the equipment that we're using. We're going to bring a little of the equipment down. We're probably not dragging the quad, but the hopper buckets, some poles, the flashers. We're going to show you guys how we catch fish so fast. And I know Alan Bob's is going to be probably throwing some specials together for that night, some sale items and things like that. And we've also got some dates that we're working on with DNR Sports down in the Kalamazoo area. I know on the 21st of December, I'm going to be up at Jay's. I know you and Chad are going to be out at the Nationals.
Yeah, out to Mille Lacs, Minnesota.
Yeah, well, our buddy Steph and our man Chad there ended up as number 3 in the nation. This year in teams on the North American Ice Fishing Circuit.
Yep.
Oh, man, what a mouthful. But anyway, they're going to go out there and show them these Michigan boys. Ain't no joke. We're going to catch some fish and stuff.
Have fun.
So we want to bring those things out to you guys, and we're going to be participating with a number of shows. Our buddies down at K&E Stopper Lures have decided that they're going to support us with some giveaways and things, and probably some equipment specials at each of those events. So watch the MIISkies.com. We're going to post all those things on our calendar up there as upcoming events so that you'll see what's coming up on those things. Now, when we talk tournaments, there's always that pre-fishing that we talk about. Now, Steph, when you go out pre-fishing, what's your goal?
Goal is to locate the big fish, because it's going to be your big crappies that are going to, they make up most of your weight. So you want to find the nicest crappies you can, and then get a decent limit of bluegills.
So we're going to turn Chad Swiss Cheese Schaub loose on the ice, and he's going to make some holes.
Oh, yeah. When we're scouting, if you do 200 holes is nothing in a day of scouting.
So we're going to need two batteries for each drill and just go crazy, and probably the power auger along as well. You guys that out there, you listen to us when we talk about this stuff. Your lake, the lake you love to go to, don't get in that rut. I was reading an article I told you about a little earlier where the guys were talking about they go out and fish everywhere. Don't go to the same spot all the time. Maybe you start there, but if the fish aren't biting, move on. Move.
Yeah.
Pick up your stuff. Slide that sled. Whatever you got to do, go check some other spots.
How many times do you go up to the lake and everybody just heads out to the community hole? That's where everybody goes, because that's where they go every year.
Yep. And you know what? Some fool might have dumped something in there, like some Christmas trees or some brush or something, and built some new fish habitat. And he's got his secret spot. And you're wondering, what's that one fool sitting down over the wrong end of the lake for?
Mm-hmm.
He might know something you don't. Don't be afraid to go exploring. Take your 14-year-old kid, make him hand drill some auger holes, you know. Keep him busy. Take a kid fishing. It's a good way to get going and explore. Now, one of the things that we mentioned last year is fall fishing. You got your boat, you throw on your jacket, man. Take that thing out there. But take your smartphone with your GPS. Figure out where those weed beds are, because when the thing freezes over, there's still weeds there. There's still structure there. And what you can find when you're roaming around with the boat, figuring out what the depths are, taking some notes, get a little notepad or put them into an app in your phone, something like that. Mark down some GPS coordinates, because it's going to be really hard to figure out where you are without GPS these days. Get to know your lakes. And if nothing's hitting on your lake, get in the car and drive a few miles and go find another lake.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to ask down at the bait shop. A real good tip about what lakes might be hitting is the MI Ice Guys website, because we have our ice map. And I wanted to talk just real quick about our ice map. It's going to be firing up real quick here. What you do is you go on to MIIceGuys.com and you can submit an ice thickness. And now this is going to be really important in the early season, because you want to know where it's safe to fish. You pick your county, and then it's going to give you a subset that shows you the lakes in that county. You pick the lake, then you tell us, you know, the thickness range. 0 to 3, 3 to 6, 6 to 9, 9+, whatever. Tell us about the ice. And that way your friends and neighbors know where there's safe ice to take their kids, go fishing. But you know, if there's an ice report, somebody's fishing. So when we come back, we've got more for you. We're going to talk about a few more things and then probably kind of wind this thing down. But this is the MI Ice Guys at MIIceGuys.com, fishing hard water in the Great Lakes State. Hey, remember to stop on out to MIIceGuys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at MIIceGuys.com. Welcome back, guys. It's the MI Ice Guys. Steph joined me today in the studio. We wanted to talk about fishing in the garage. We've covered a lot of things about getting your act together. Use those rainy fall days, the cold days when you really don't want to be out doing anything else. Go fool around the garage, get your stuff out.
Yeah.
We've covered that. We've talked a little bit about tournaments. We've talked about some new stuff and some shopping. And get on eBay, man. Find you some stuff. There's great things.
Yeah, find some deals. Even I got a nice deal on the newest Vexilar. They're out there and available. People are pre-sailing these where you can buy stuff. So I got it right when it first came out, because I know they're going to be hard to get the end of the year.
Yeah.
Come ice fishing season, yep. It's also, guess what? It's Christmas.
Yeah.
Guess what everybody's buying? new stuff for...
Yeah, what do you buy? Yep. Make your Christmas list. There's a great idea.
Yep.
Pin it right up to the refrigerator. The wife always says she never knows what to get you. Well, hey. New Vexlar, there you go. Something great.
Tungsten jigs.
Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with some jigs and stuff. Even just a gift certificate to your favorite bait shop. That's always a good plan. Well, we here as the MI Ice guys, we're really, really jumping through hoops to get things ready. We want to be out there and fishing. And as soon as that water gets hard, we're going to be on it. And we want you guys to be with us there, too. We promise we're going to get a little sound-absorbing mat so that you won't hear us beating on the table.
Tunking the table.
Quite as much as we progress this year. And we're hoping that this is going to be a really fun year. We're hoping for early ice like we had a few years ago, maybe get a little fishing in before Christmas. But we know realistically that here in southern Michigan, we're probably looking at just right after Christmas to get out on safe ice.
Generally, I like to try to get out by New Year's, and sometimes I got to go up to Houghton or... You know, sometimes just below Cadillac, I can get on good ice. So
right, you know. But it's really important to be prepared and, put some thought into it. You can really make an excellent season by being prepared and getting your stuff around. And this is the time of the year. I know that a few of you are practicing with your bows. You got a little bit of stuff getting ready for deer camp and stuff. But also... if you just need a day in the garage, get away from everybody a little bit, getting that equipment out and straightened up. While it's still warm enough to work on it and you're not out there in the freezing cold, your fingers sticking to the conduit on the shanty and things like that.
And we hope to see our listeners out there this year, too, at our ice seminars that we're going to be doing around the state of Michigan here, from south to Jays to locally here in Grand Rapids.
Yep. They may even have us out on the east side of the state. I got a little bit of talk going on about that as well. But we wanted to just wrap up with a few other little comments and things and talk about some ideas. Look around your garage. Check out some things. Make sure that the batteries in your lights, because, sometimes it's dark when we go out fishing. Make sure those batteries aren't corroded. Pull them out. Clean those contacts. Just good general maintenance stuff to do. Check the battery on your quad. Check the battery on your drill. Check the battery on your ice finder. I know that a couple summers ago, I was guilty of not keeping up on the battery on my flasher all summer long. And I come season and my battery's shot. That's no fun. So give it some thought. Do a little bit of preparation and that kind of stuff. You're going to have a great season. You're going to be able to have fish in the freezer. You're going to be able to share with your family and friends some great stuff. Now, I want to tell you a little story about something that I did a couple of weeks ago. I had the smoker running, and I took some fillets that I had, skinless fillets. Everybody's like, you can't smoke skinless fillets. Yes, you can. Here's the tip. Go down to your grill store and get one of those grill toppers. It's that little aluminum mesh thing, Yeah, the little bluegill fillets and the crappie fillets might fall through the grates on your big smoker, but if you put one of those little grill toppers down in there, you can use the same brine recipe that you use for salmon or whitefish or whatever you're smoking and smoke up some of those, and boy, do they make tasty treats. You wouldn't believe it. Go through that freezer. Make sure you get the last year's fish up to the top and maybe this summer's, because you're going to have a great season this year and catch a lot of fish. What have you been doing lately with your fish stuff?
Been out salmon fishing, so I've been canning it. But I also tore up the bluegills the past month, with the exception of last weekend. They've really been hitting good up on Hardy and Croton.
And you really can't go wrong with a little pan-fried or deep-fried panfish. That is just an awesome thing to do.
Good eats.
Well, you've been listening to the MI Ice guys. We hope that you'll spend a little time on our website and check things out as the season comes along. If you got a smartphone, hey, put a bookmark down to us for our ice map, because really it's a benefit to all fishermen around the state to know where there is safe ice and things like that. And the one last thing I want to touch on today is an app that I found at the end of the season last year. It's a free app on Android. It's called Where Am I? And all it does is it tells you what county you're in, gives you the city, the lake that you're on, whatever. You drive around and hit all these lakes. Maybe you don't know what county you're in and things like that. It was a cool freebie to use to find it, because I was running around with some guys that they were showing me where to go, but it's like, what county are they in? Like, I don't know. The county line's either that way or that way. Get the app. It's free and stuff. And bookmark MIISkies.com. We want to thank all our buddies that listen to us and help us put on the show. Thanks. And remember, MIISkies.com. We'll see you next time. MIISkies would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on MIISkies.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys, and enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.